Welcome, Manifiners. I am Melina Bard, and you have found the Manifinies podcast. Welcome. This is where you come for mini epiphanies to expand your God box and bring mindfulness to your day. And today, I hope sincerely that you have a comfortable place to sit and reflect, or a really good cup of coffee, because we're going to talk about reflecting on who you are and dealing with your own crap to prevent hurling it at others all the time, which is a favorite phrase of mine. Today, I want to talk about preventing conflict and about approaching conflict with wisdom, at least with an inner sense of what's really going on in your heart and soul before you walk into a situation. So thank you for tuning in and for a little self-care today. We mentioned in, I think it was episode 2, the 3 R's about being aware of your surroundings and vulnerability. And the 3 R's were recognizing, releasing, and, as I like to say, resetting yourself. And I said, when you see yourself heading in a direction that does not support your highest purpose, that doesn't bring your full intentionality to light, then recognize it, release it, and reset yourself on the right path, in the right mindset. I laugh because there has to be some joy in resetting yourself and moving in a different direction. So today, I want to talk about how we have a few people in the crowd, whoever you might be, myself maybe included, I think we all have moments, who are conflict avoidant. And it's true that I'm an 8-9 on the Enneagram. If you don't know that, then you should really check it out. It's amazing. So I don't necessarily avoid conflict, but I definitely don't run head on either. Conflict is never fun for anyone. It's got to be the hardest part of life. People and relationships are the hardest things to sort out. It's the only thing that we're forced to do ourselves. Maybe our own self-care too, of course, but you can make an appointment at the Genius Bar if your iPhone stops working. You can hand it off to a millennial to fix it for you, myself included. I can hand it off to someone who's a little bit younger than me. But when we encounter conflict with people instead of devices, then we have to do the work. Avoiding it only leads to carrying around baggage and either dealing with it in the future when it has snowballed and it's way bigger than it could have been in the beginning, or constantly feeling the tear and avoiding that person forever. Neither of which these two are good for your soul and the overall baggage that you carry around on a daily basis. We don't need it to be even heavier. I was at a workshop last year, and the speaker said the moment he hears someone is unhappy with him, he immediately calls them up and says, "Hey, so-and-so told me you're unhappy. What's up? Let's fix this." And I don't know about you, but that's a little bold for me. I'm working up to that. He's a 7-8 on the Enneagram, if that tells you something. And it's my 9 that makes me a little bit more shy. The 9 is the peacekeeper. And so that alone will tell you that keeping peace definitely doesn't make me want to run towards conflict. But here is my trick for preparing for healthy conflict. And you can mold this into your own voice and your own higher power as it suits you best. But before I reach out to someone, before I approach them, I pray that God will give me the right words. And I determine to love them and care for them no matter why they are upset with me or no matter what they have done to hurt me. I set my intention to deal with my own crap and to recognize when I'm wrong. I look for the shit on my side of the road and focus on that instead of what's on their side. And I set my mindset to be open and to be humble. My intention is to walk into the conflict to create healing and to bridge the gap, not to divide and not to make them aware of their faults and their baggage. I recognize what I want to say. That's that first R again. And then I release it. I know that there's a time for constructive criticism and that this might not be it. Constructive criticism can come after the conflict has ended, if necessary, especially with your spouse or something in a growth relationship. That might happen later when both of your tempers have completely cooled and the conflict and wound is 24 hours away, maybe. But it might not need to be said at all. Sometimes something just sets you off for no reason. And so just because I see someone carrying baggage doesn't mean that I need to point out their heavy load to them. So when I actually speak to the person, it takes a constant reminder to do exactly what I just said. I recognize my words carefully and I listen to theirs carefully. And I try to remember that their emotions might interfere with the word choices that they use. And I try not to be offended easily. If something could be misinterpreted, rather than jumping to conclusions, I ask them to reword it for me. And I can tell you that has been a godsend. So this method of incorporating the three R's comes into play for preventing conflict, especially with yourself. If we recognize when our reaction to something is out of balance with what actually occurred, if we recognize when we're hesitant or we have a wall up towards someone or something, then we can release the fear, the anger, or the baggage that holds us back, and we can reset ourselves on a new path. When you see yourself headed in a direction that does not support your highest purpose or prevents you from engaging in loving behavior, then recognize it, release it, and reset yourself on the right path and on the right mindset. Someone misrepresented me this week, and it really struck me. It really bothered me more than I thought it should. And I recognized that my reaction was out of balance with the issue or the mistake. It might have been something that struck me wrong, and I moved on and I shook it off, but this really stuck. And so before I released it, I needed to know what I was actually releasing. So I reflected for a few hours. I let it sit on the back burner, and it slowly boiled and came to the forefront that it had to do with a deeper concern about how I want to be known in the world, about what I want to be known for, and about what I want to leave behind. And this mistake made it apparent that I either wasn't leaving that around for people to see, I wasn't throwing it around like glitter, or just that I wasn't aware that it mattered so much to me, which is probably more true. And so once I was aware of the real issue, then I could release my focus on the heartache, and I could reset my intention and my focus on making a difference, on being aware of my deeper desire and calling it into my world so that it can come true. There's a local school here in Albuquerque with billboards, and I'm a nerd, but I love them because there's one up that implies that they teach human anatomy that includes the soul. If you're an Albuquerquean, then you maybe have seen it, but I love that idea. I don't know if they really do that or if they accomplish that, but I think that's part of what we're aiming for here. Soul health is just as important as physical health, as mental health, as emotional health. We don't want these little issues like hurt feelings to grow into grudges or to avoid the real issue at hand. Band-aids don't fix tumors. Habits like running away or reacting in anger or pain don't bring overall wellness to yourself or to your relationships. The advertising and marketing in America has been for a long time about being beautiful and working out and eating healthy, but not about mental and emotional health. Like how unforgiveness or shame or self-doubt is a tumor on your soul, and how these things affect your beauty. You know, we tell little girls, and I hope that we believe, that beauty comes from the inside out. There's nothing more true. If you're an asshat, it doesn't matter if you're a supermodel. People will not want to be friends with you, right? That might be your party friend, the person that you just call to have a good time on the town. But real relationships and real friendships come out in the hard times. They come out in the times that we feel ashamed and overwhelmed, or when we need a shoulder to cry on. Oh man, I wish I could remember where this came from. So someone please tell me if this was you or if you knew where it was written maybe or something. But I heard about an introvert who was really hurting, and her best friend just left dinner on her doorstep and texted her after she left that her favorite food was sitting outside. And when we say, I know you need something, and I also know that you don't need or want the obligatory, quote, having to put on pants and see me and entertain me and talk to me, that's love. I don't know if it's as moving to you as it is to me in that short snapshot of what happened, but it's obvious that the best friend truly understands the one who's hurting in that short story. Relationships can be hard, but they are worth it when both parties are fully committed and care for each other and look for ways that show love to each other. And I just have to say this. I feel like every time I talk about relationships, then they need a little disclaimer. And that's that abuse is totally different. If you're in an abusive relationship, and that might be a family member or a spouse or tons of different unhealthy people or mentally unwell people that are around you and in your circle, whether it's work or it's a more intimate relationship, then this doesn't apply to abuse. It can apply to conflicts with your mom or your friend or your boss, but not with the abuser. Finding the piece we talked about above will be crucial to leaving and finding the confidence to walk away from someone who has an explosive temper or who constantly puts you down or projects or moves goalposts and avoids accountability. If you're in an abusive relationship, of which that short list is only a small list of examples of what can be considered abuse, this isn't meant to convince you to stay or to be the healthy one. Just leave and let them work on themselves where you are safely away from the threat of spiritual, emotional, or physical harm. Being a wedding planner, I get to see a lot of healthy and unhealthy relationships. And it's sometimes hard to stand by and watch a couple who's really struggling to plan and wonder, is this such a struggle? Because it's really just not meant to be. When we force things, I think the universe sometimes tries to open our eyes through the conflict. The only thing that'll tell you that is getting quiet and searching out our soul. And that way the truth can be revealed and slowly boil to the top. If there's ups and downs, take it as a sign. And I mean that about jobs, about anything, about relationships. When you know, you know. And I really do mean that, especially for relationships. If you're doubting something is right, and again, a job, a relationship, the next step of some kind, a move, pay attention to that little voice. Recognize if it's fear that you need to overcome, or if it's really a hesitation to something deeper. If there's a deeper why, and you're not really 100% sure that it's the right path for you, then stop. Get some quiet time. Get grounded. Recognize that. Honor it. And then maybe release it like a butterfly. See if it comes back. Reset yourself on a different path. Honor your intuition. Listen to it. I feel like when something is a yes, it's really obvious. And when it's a maybe, it might really be a no, disguised by the temptation for power or for some other kind. Now, I know you know we're getting to the end when I give you a little assignment, but my challenge to you this week is just to honor the journey, to be confident and sincere in conflict. Listen to the conflicts within yourself, especially. Recognize them. I can't say it enough. The three R's. Recognize and then release the things that do not serve your highest purpose or your highest purpose of those around you. I didn't say that right. The higher purpose of those around you. And reset yourself on the right path. Walk in truth. You can do it. If you doubt yourself, just take a drive or pray or meditate. Do some yoga or something that connects your mind and body and soul all together again. Put your phone away. Be less distracted and more connected to your inner truth. You are beautiful from the inside out. Don't forget that. I have a few quick reminders before we go. There's an EFT event happening in Albuquerque on March 25th. I think we're going to start about 9 a.m. and probably work as a group until about 12. My gut is really telling me to block the whole day for smaller group work or one-on-one maybe work. So people who need a little extra love can hang out and mingle, and we can try to figure out that day if you need to work with me or maybe with each other to continue some type of healing work. I'm not sure what will happen, but I feel like it's going to be really wonderful and big. And so save the date. Go to alinabard.com and let us know if you want to come. You can shoot me a message on there. You'll get an email and we'll reserve your seat. And then we'll send out the location a week before when we know our headcount and we know how much space we need. And this is a free event, so this is no pressure. Just come and check it out. Also, the web versions of live coaching and spiritual direction went up this week, so you can fill out an inquiry form for that too if you're interested in one-on-one time with me for spiritual direction. We'll have to talk about what is spiritual direction soon. Maybe we'll do that next week, so tune in. I'm trying to think, anything else? I think that's it. We're going to start a Bible study soon this month also. It's going to start March 1st. We're going to do a small group, and I are doing the Bible with Everyone by N.T. Wright. Is that how it's? The Bible for Everyone by N.T. Wright. We're going to start with Matthew. So we might do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John this year. So if anyone's interested in that, again, email me. There's a lot of things to email me about. So lots of exciting and wonderful things are happening, huh? This is the start of a community, y'all. All of you who are listening are a like-minded and lovely group, and I can't wait to meet you, whether it's soon or someday or in the distant future. So if this Minifany has impacted your life for the better, please leave a review, share, and subscribe. I know that leaving a review on iTunes is really weird. A lot of people have been asking me how to do it. So quick instructions from the millennial. You go to your podcast app and you click search in the bottom right-hand corner and search for Minifanies. It doesn't matter if you're already subscribed. This is the only way I can find how to get there. And then you click on the podcast icon, not an episode icon at the top, but just below it where it actually has the podcast name. And then for some reason that God and Apple only knows, it will have three boxes instead of just the two. So you'll see details, reviews, and related instead of just the, I think details and related are on the main screen. So then when you click reviews, you'll find write a review will be really obvious then. And then the other three reviews that awesome people have written, you'll get to read those. So I hope that helps. Last, I just want to encourage you again to comment and leave your thoughts and reflections on our Facebook. I've been taking a little bit of words and snapshots from the whole episode and posting them every day around noon. So check those out for little tidbits and encouragement throughout your week. And then again, email me directly if you want to or about anything we just talked about. So from the bottom of my soul, I hope this has been a Minifany and that you will walk in confidence and peace this week.